إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، today in our تزكية وتربية series we will speak about two related things. One is the issue of غيرة and the other one is the issue of حياة. With respect to غيرة, there is a famous hadith where Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if you have no ghira, then do whatever you like. If you have no ghira, then do whatever you want. With respect to haya, the hadith which we all know, Rasulullah ﷺ said that iman has more than 70 parts and one of those parts is haya. Now what is ghira? Ghira, the concept is one of those things which is difficult to translate into English. But the closest that we can get to ghira is to use the word honor, a sense of honor. A sense of honor comes from a sense of history, from a sense of belonging, from a sense of understanding who you are. People who have no roots, people who have no culture, people who have no background, there is no honor in them. Because they don't know where they are, they don't know who they come from, they don't know who they represent, they don't know that they stand for more than themselves. And so they have no honor. It is the Alexander Solzhenitsyn said that if you want to destroy a people, cut them off from their history. And that's the reason why it's very important also to study history, because history gives you a sense of ghira. It helps you to understand who you are. You're not some piece of trash which was found in some gutter. You belong to a family, you belong to a tradition, you belong to this deen of Islam which is more important than all of the rest. And therefore, it's not a question of just being somebody. That is what gives you a sense of honor. I remember when I first went to in Hyderabad, when I was in school, I can't remember what class I was in. I must have been about maybe 10 years old or something. I went to get a membership of the riding club, and the president of the riding club, the interview was only one question. And the question was, after I told him my name, he said, Baba, aap kaun se khandan se hai? He asked me, which family do you belong to? And after I told him the name of my family, he said, no problem. This is not some kind of, exclusive old boys club. The issue is that the family, the name of the family helps him to understand the entire tradition, the entire background that I come from. Whether somebody is worth something or not. Again, I'm not here propagating any kind of discrimination based on families and so on. And that's the reason why I said for a Muslim, the belonging comes from Islam. It does not come from a family, it does not come from a tribe, it comes from being a Muslim. For us, our history is the history of Islam. For us, the family is the family of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that connection has more honor than anything else that you can imagine. And this is the connection which gives us our ghira. This is the connection which gives us a sense of honor. And that is why when a Muslim is anywhere, when a Muslim is in any situation, he does not see himself just as an ordinary human being. He is not an ordinary human being. He is a Muslim. He is a Muslim. He is a representative of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In terms of ghira, it's very important for us to understand this, that we are not just anybody. We are a representative of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was how the Sahaba understood it. And that's the reason why when in the Battle of Qadisiyah, when Rustam, the Iranian general, the Persian general, when he sent a message to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, and he said, send us an ambassador. We want to ask some questions, so send us an ambassador. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu didn't search high and low to find an ambassador. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu just sent whoever came in front of him. And that was, who was that? It was Amir bin Rabi'a, Rabi'a bin Amir, radiallahu anhu. And Rabi'a bin Amir, radiallahu anhu, was an Abyssinian man. He was a black man. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas didn't say, where are the big people of Quraysh? Where are the Arabs? Where are the aristocracy of the... No. There's no aristocracy, no big people, no family. Muslim. In this case, it happened to be Rabi'a bin Amir, radiallahu anhu. An African man. Doesn't matter. Black, white, red, green makes no difference in Islam. As far as Islam is concerned, once you are a Muslim, you are a Muslim. And Rabi'a ibn Amr radiallahu anhu went and he represented Islam and he represented Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in such a way, by answering the question of Rustum in such a way that it lives on, that memory of that answer lives on and will live on until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps it alive. That is the issue of ghira. That is the issue of understanding who you are, where you come from. And that is why ghira is something which also results in a person feeling offended when that ghira is touched, when that ghira is attacked. It is part of the ghira of the man to feel anger, to feel offended if anybody looks or anybody makes derogatory statement or something about the women of his family.
Insinuation.
Jazakallah khair. If somebody insinuates anything about the women of his family, it is part of the ghira of the man. But today we live in a world where if somebody says to a man about his wife, and he says, man, what a woman you got. And the man feels very nice. Oh, he says, oh, fantastic. You know, my wife is being appreciated. Today we live in a world where if somebody looks at a sister of someone, and he says, wow, man, your sister is hot, huh? You got a real hot sister. And you feel very nice. Oh, mashallah, very nice. My sister is being appreciated. This is the world. Believe me, I'm not exaggerating. I'm not exaggerating at all. This is the world. This is the Western world which has come into our lives. The Western world is no longer in the West. Believe me, the Western world is in your house. The whole world is West. There is only one direction, West. There was a time when there was an Eastern world, and today is only one world. That world is the Western world, because that comes to you in your houses through the television and so on. Where somebody makes this remark, how else do you explain? How else do you explain that the wives and the daughters of the Muslims today walk around wearing the kinds of clothes they wear, they walk around laughing and chatting like everybody else, and the fathers are not offended, the fathers are not humiliated, the husbands and the brothers are not humiliated? How is this possible, tell me? Except with the fact that that ghira has been lost. Beghairat ho gaye sab jane, kisi ko sharam nahi hai, haya nahi. So there is no ghira. So somebody looks at your daughter and starts swallowing because he's got water in his mouth, he's drooling, and you feel very nice. Ah, mashallah, very nice, my daughter is being appreciated. Tell me, seriously, ho ra nahi ho ra? There is no sense of haya, there is no sense of shame with the men when their women are being looked at by other men. And why are they being looked at by other men? Because of how they dress, because of how they move about. And why do they do that? Because you allow it. Because you let it happen. It makes no difference to you. You have lost all sense of shame, no haya, no ghira, no nothing. Like animals. So they do it. And you feel nothing about it. Because your ghira is gone. This is very, very important to understand. Ghira is a sign of nobility. It's a sign of honor. It's a sign for the men that you are still a man. Being a man is not a matter of gender. It's a matter of honor. So also for the woman. For a woman to not be affected when her husband or her father or her brother if he is behaving in a way which is not in keeping with Islam and the woman finds this is okay, that means she has no ghira. The ghira is not restricted to men. The ghira is a feeling for the Muslim. The woman is as much a Muslim as the man. There's no differentiation in Islam between men and women as far as their identity is concerned. They both take the identity from the same source, which is they are both representatives of Islam. And that's the reason why this ghira, to bring about, may Allah protect us, let us look at how we live our lives. What do we teach our children? What do we teach ourselves? I have always said the biggest problem are the men of the house. The biggest problem are the parents, not the children. Not the children. Children, ye bacha kya karega? What does he know? The biggest problem are the parents. The biggest problem are the men of the house. Because you are the cause of all corruption. Believe me, seriously, I'm not joking. You are the cause of all corruption. You are the people who buy those television sets and bring them into the house. Which child do you know who buys a television set and brings it to the house? Tell me, which 5-year-old, 10-year-old buys a TV set and brings it in the house? It's the fathers who do it. You are the one who pay for, you are the ones who pay for the cable connections. You are the ones who, without any sense of shame, you will sit and watch those completely corrupting TV serials with your children. And what is that TV serial showing? It shows this one woman is somebody's wife today. Tomorrow she is someone else's girlfriend. Day after tomorrow she is something else, and so on and so on. And if the whole family is sitting there and laughing and looking at this thing, they don't feel any sense of shame. The elders feel no sense of shame that we are watching this nonsense with our own children. You have lost your ghira, you have lost your own izzat. The cause of the problem are the adults. The corruption of society is inside your house. It is not outside in the world. Your houses are the most corrupt places in the world, not outside. Corruption is right there. So that's why I always say, don't worry about the outside. Clean up your act. The outside will take care of itself. Ensure that in your house there is no corruption. Ensure that you live a life of ghira. That people, I mean, I tell you, I feel like one fossil, you know, like some ancient. There was a time when we did not come in front of our elders without our head covered. It was not done. There was a time when you did not leave your house. Forget about leaving the house and going outside. You did not even meet a guest who came. You did not even meet a guest without wearing a sherwani. Huh? Today we walk around anywhere. We walk around anywhere, anyhow. No, I mean, what happened to all this culture? It went down the drain. I mean, absolutely. It's only you have people like me talking about it. Beyond that, there's nothing. La hawla quwwata illa billah. We have to bring this. That is the reason why children have no respect for you. My grandfather's generation has no problem with children, with respect of their children. I never heard any of them complaining, children have no respect. No one ever complained about that. We have got the problem. Children have no respect. Why? Because you have shown to the children that you are not worthy of respect. You sit with the child, like the child, you behave like the child. How, who is going to respect? Somebody like himself? Somewhere we have to differentiate. And that differentiation is the issue of ghira. It's the issue of ghira for the man to have a sense of haya, of sense of shame. I don't know what the right word for it is, but a sense of shame that something is happening which is impacting negatively on my identity as a Muslim. How can I be a Muslim and this is happens in my house? How can I be a Muslim and this is how my family behaves and what my family does? We have to have this sense of belonging to the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is ghira. So I remind myself and you, Jay. Yeah, wo to kar rahe. So please understand this. Again, we are not saying, you know, I'm not saying now you pull out a sword and start chopping people's necks. No, I mean, that's not the idea. The idea is for us to understand, for us with love and affection to inculcate this in our families, inculcate this in our children, with our women of the house. Talk to them nicely and tell them, and then depending on how far they have gone, you know, it is not easy. It will take some time for them to come back, but at least minimum make some effort. Do something. And remove the corrupting influences from the house. Go check and see. Believe me, the corrupting influences are in the house. They are in the gatherings that we are part of. That's the reason. Why do I keep talking about, not going to these clubs and so on? I've got nothing against any club. But you know and I know the kind of influence in that place. And the more you go there, the more your children and you and your family and so on are exposed to that influence. And they will say, well, you know, you are the one who tells me I shouldn't do this. But so look there, so-and-so is doing it, so-and-so is doing it. And may Allah protect us. They will give you the names of good, so-called good Muslim families. So now you are making your own life difficult. Because now you are putting them in that situation and they are saying, well, you know, in that place everyone else is doing it, nobody objects, you are the only one, you are the one stick in the mud, you know, you are an old fashioned dakhyaron se buddha ho gaya, ye nahi karna, wo nahi karna, wo nahi karna, unko dekho, unko kaisa kar rahe, unko dekho, unko kaisa, batate sab ungliya, kahi ko aap le jaake dikha rahe wahan pe, aap le ja rahe kahi ko dikha rahe kahi ko, ab aap bolte nahi main nahi lega to nahi dekhte kya, aap nahi le gaye to bhi dekhte honge, magar kam se kam uska azab aapke sir pe to nahi hai na. Think about this. I mean, at least your responsibility. You know, maybe they will see, even if you don't take them there, but at least you are not responsible for that. You didn't take them to show them. Why do you create problems for yourself? Because you go and sit in those majalis, you go to those clubs and so on and so forth, they are exposed to that stuff. And then they bring it and throw it back in your face. When you tell them, don't do this, don't do that. No, but so-and-so is doing it. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. I'm telling you, if there was a way of still going to those clubs and still remaining clean, believe me, I would have been there long before you. There is no such way. If you go and you cannot clean something with dirty water, please understand this. If you are in that, it's like saying I want to jump into the middle of a lake and I will not get wet. How is it possible? It's not, it is just not doable, believe me. You are fooling yourself. It's a fantasy. If you are in the lake, you are wet. Simple as that. Simple as that. So you decide what you want to do. End of the day, it's your life. But I'm just saying that since that's my job to remind myself and you, let us develop ghira. We were a people who were known for our ghira. We were a people who were known for our honor. People used to say, don't say this to a Muslim. Today, no difference. No difference. Anyone can say anything. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Time for us to change. The idea of saying all this is not simply to keep on banging up, you know, beating ourselves. No, the idea is time to change. And therefore, let us bring this ghira into our lives. Tomorrow, inshallah, we'll talk about haya, which is also part of this. But let's stay with this ghira. The ghira is a very, very important element of being a human being, of being especially of being a Muslim. The honor that comes from our association with Islam. And that's why I said, let us all reflect on this. Sit down quietly and think and say, I am a representative of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What does it mean? What does it mean? It's not enough simply to say, you know, I'm a great Ashiq-e-Rasul and you know this and that and this function, that function. If you are an Ashiq-e-Rasul, behave like the Rasul. If you have really love for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then behave like Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Have your environment like Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Otherwise, that claim of love for the Prophet ﷺ is a lie. If you loved Rasulullah ﷺ, how come you don't look like him? How come you don't walk and talk like him? How come your house is different from his? Every single thing is different. And you say, I love Rasulullah ﷺ. How come you love Rasulullah ﷺ when you don't want to follow anything that he did? Let's forget all this telling lies to ourselves. We are not ordinary people. We are Muslim. Which means that we are representatives of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that we are representatives of Islam. Every single one of us, man, woman or child, rich or poor, anywhere in the world, any nationality, we are representatives of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, let us behave like that. Let's not behave like some piece of trash which was found in some gutter. We are not like that. We are not that. We are special. Allah made us special. Let us behave like we are special, because we are the standard to which the world's attention has been called. And say, look at them. So what are we showing the world? Let us be very clear. The world's attention has been called to us and saying, look at them. And it's up to us to show that the world will see something which they can aspire to, which they think is worth emulating, which they think is worth following. That is how Islam spread. Islam did not spread by force, not by the sword, not by the gun. And Islam today also will not spread by the sword or the gun. It will spread by Muslims behaving like Muslims. And that's what I remind myself and I remind you to do. Please let us clean up our act and do it now. Because you do not know whether we will live for another half an hour. Do it now. Whatever we can do, do it now. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ